Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to episode 34 of Global from Asia. I have to kind of admit I'm a little bit exhausted as I record today. I've slept in a Chinese hospital for four nights last weekend. We had a little bit of a false alarm on my wife's pregnancy, and they made her stay for 4 days. It's definitely an adventure, and probably belongs more on my blog. Okay, and for today, we have back into the startup world, and I believe while we do focus on startups in this episode, I can believe it's for all businesses, e-commerce or online businesses. Paul Orlando is here with us today, and he's an extremely passionate about global movement for these small pocket communities of entrepreneurs and business people that can get together and support each other and make a great output. So he shares insights of being in Hong Kong as well as other communities where entrepreneurs might get a little bit lonely and feel like maybe they're not in the Silicon Valley of the world, but they can still get things done. So let's just dive right in. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have Paul Orlando, a good friend of mine, here on the show. Thanks for being here, Paul.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, I guess I wonder now how I should introduce myself. It used to be kind of straightforward in the past, but maybe I'll just briefly talk about a couple of things that I was involved in as a way of as an intro. So I guess over the last few years, I've just become someone who has tried to champion a lot of startups and have worked with a lot of startups, you know, both in an accelerator that I used to run in Hong Kong and some other programs that are kind of similar to that, you know, whether they are like, you know, boot camps or kind of part time or just general mentorship or advising work. But kind of got into that whole world by having a startup of my own in New York about 4 or 5 years ago, making a ton of mistakes, seeing a lot of other people struggle along the way and figure things out, and really just wanting to help as many other founders as I could and really enjoying that work. And I, you know, now that I've left Hong Kong and I'm in California now, I've continued to do similar work, and I I've still got about the five startups that I'm working with, like on an individual basis. But I guess it's a roundabout answer to your question. Like I'm kind of involved with a lot of things here.
Yeah. So, I mean, you also just put a book out. I was just going through it. I still got to go through the whole book, but I just hot off the press. Right. So that's pretty exciting. Yeah. We can talk about that more detail later. And then we met on Twitter technically, but I remember talking about the barbecue, China barbecue.
Right.
And then, you came over for the boot camp, startup boot camp in Hong Kong. And
Yes. And that, so like, I guess on Twitter, it'll make suggestions for who to follow. And I had found you, I guess, before we met in person or had been introduced, I guess. And you would always be tweeting out with pictures these, you know, like street stall barbecue places like in Shenzhen or the places in China. And I really like street food. So I would always see that. I'd be like, you know, commenting back, even though we hadn't met in person.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a kind of a fun way to meet somebody, you know, before you meet them in real life. But yeah, so like I had gone out, I guess it was end of 2011, early 2012. Went back to Hong Kong and was there for a few weeks and, you know, met a ton of people in the local tech scene. I say I went back because I had worked in Hong Kong for about 5 years, but that's like 10 years ago. And so I went back for a trip, ended up connecting with a lot of people in the tech scene. And I was comparing what I was seeing and hearing to like what I saw happen in New York around, say, 2008. 2007 or so. And like everybody I met, I kept asking, well, okay, so like what's going well here? What do you wish you had here? What's missing? What would help the community kind of move forward? And a lot of that input and those conversations kept going after I went back home. to New York back then, but a lot of those conversations kept going, and then they eventually turned into this thing that I guess maybe you can call it like a pre-accelerator. It was a thing I called Startup Bootcamp, which I did three cohorts of in Hong Kong. So I started mid-2012 and ran it until about, I guess, early 2013. But it was great. It was like a good way to get started in this more intensive way of working with a lot of different founders. So yeah, so I had like 13 startups go through the program. Half of them were people already based in Hong Kong, or about, I guess, nine were already based in Hong Kong. And then four actually traveled in internationally, which was like the big shock for me. And that experience definitely like taught me a lot and kind of like helped me learn what was valuable to people in terms of like what I was doing and how people can kind of move through this process as they are learning and figuring out their own businesses and how to bring mentors in. So like, you know, you were one of the like the early mentors in that first cohort that we did. And then a lot of that, you know, of course, went right into, you know, making Accelerator HK a kind of a program that could, you know, hit the ground running. Yep. Because at least on my part, you know, I'd already, you know, worked with a number of companies and had already kind of learned what was working, what wasn't working, just got my own style, I guess, as I started to work with Steve Forte on that. So it was a really, you know, it was for me an incredibly enjoyable experience. And I felt like I was giving a lot back, you know, to the community. But yeah, that's basically how it all got started, having some conversations and then just taking a jump.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you've done a really great job in Hong Kong, and we definitely still miss you over here. But
yeah. That's good to hear. So, I miss being over there too.
Yeah, it's definitely a special place. So it kind of leads into our first real question, emerging startup communities. So what exactly is a emerging startup community? And I know this is kind of like a specialty that you've talked about and it's mentioned in your book. So I think that would be a good opening question.
Right. Well, to me, an emerging startup community is, you know, is what's represented by, you know, probably 99% of the startups and locations out there around the world, but the ones who get a tiny fraction of attention. So we're talking about locations outside of the big tech hubs. So, you know, like outside of Silicon Valley, you know, New York, LA, Singapore, London, you know, even like Tel Aviv, a lot of these cities around the world, which over the years have become known for having some big exits, for having a sizable number of startups or number of people working on things, investment community, sizable amount of talent. So I guess I think of these emerging locations as being, on one hand, it could be anything that's outside of that. But really, you know, there is a community that is forming, and you know, it is showing these signs of growth. And to me, certainly back when I visited Hong Kong and started to do the boot camp in 2012, you know, Hong Kong to me was representing an emerging community, and it's grown a lot, you know, even just in that short time. But you'll see, I mean, like there's an emerging community in Shenzhen. There's, you know, these locations are all over the place. And what I ended up doing, both just my own personal interest in having this like unusual experience of having a, you know, an accelerator outside of, you know, all the attention of, say, Silicon Valley. But apart from my own experience, and kind of it grew into the book that I just wrote, I ended up talking to a lot of people in these off-the-beaten-path locations. So either by visiting them in person or having, like, Skype calls, you know, with people, I ended up talking to I guess people in around maybe 30 plus different emerging locations around the world, you know, around Asia, you know, Midwest US, you know, Northern Canada, you know, East Africa, around Europe, Latin America. And I was just trying to get a sense for how are they surviving and becoming successful in these smaller locations that may have, you know, less support, you know, less going for themselves, at least on the surface. So how do they do it? And what are the things that we all can learn from that experience? Because I really think these emerging communities represent, you know, the bulk of at least numbers of people who are working on really cool things. And you also, you know, you find things that are, you know, that are things that you would not think about maybe from the hub. So that, you know, that people coming out of a, you know, quote unquote traditional startup experience out of one of these big hubs, you know, you find these emerging communities are sometimes working on things that are really different, and, you know, and sometimes not. Sometimes they're actually, you know, looking a little too much to the hubs, but it's a different story.
Yeah, I got it. So it's just, it's really fascinating, I think, is, you know, the whole, like, maybe the internet and now social media and just the, I'm a big fan of, like, the world is flat and not giving everybody the opportunity as long as they're willing to work hard for it. So, like, it kind of leads into, you know, we talk about community. And then, so I think my next question is more about community for startups and the importance of community that you've noticed.
This is always a really big thing in the startup world, the importance of community. So I agree and disagree with some of the things about community out there. So a very common thing, like, around the world in startup communities is to have, you know, kind of a central gathering place, I suppose, or, you know, some number of them. You know, that might be a cafe, a co-working space. It might just be in an event location where people will get together periodically, and they'll, you know, there might be a talk, there might be, you know, demos, there might be just, you know, a happy hour, just a way for people to get to know each other. That to me is definitely important, especially in, you know, early stage communities where that might be kind of the, you know, the extent of what you can do right now in that community, because you're very early stage and people are just starting to come together and starting to work on their individual businesses. And, you know, and you can learn a lot from talking to other founders. You can get a lot of support, even moral support, which is important at times, because, you know, working on a startup is, you know, it's got such extreme highs and lows that you often do need a lot of this moral support to help you through those lows. Where maybe I take some exception to parts of the community are where people favor the startup community over what to me is a more important community, which is like the community of your customers. So if you think of a small tech location, you know, you might have startup people getting together periodically at these community events. I would hope they do not make that the extent of their outreach that they do. And to me, if you're going to a startup kind of world event, you should make sure that you're also going to events that your customers are going to, and that you're spending an adequate amount of time in front of the people that you're really doing all this work for. Otherwise, it's, you know, there's a really slippery slope and kind of this echo chamber in the tech world where we all start to believe these similar beliefs. We kind of forget who we really are working so hard for, which is the people who are using the things that we're building, which most of the time, it's not other startup people. So I always try to stress, the startup community will be there for you. But make sure that you're spending enough time with your customers now, because that's the whole reason for your existence.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe I'm just going to put that in a note for sure. I mean, community of users, because I think that's the real value of a business is your community of your user, right? I mean, that's a real like moat or barrier to entry if you have a good brand of around your with users. So I really like that point. Thanks for that. Next point I have, we're a little bit back. We're talking about global. Now we're talking, let's go back to like around Hong Kong. What, you know, you've been there for a couple of times and spent a lot of time there working with startups and different businesses. What's your thoughts about using Hong Kong as a business center?
I like it as a business center a lot. There are tremendous advantages to Hong Kong as a location. I'll just go through a few that maybe people think about a little less. One thing that is very easy to do in Hong Kong, which you do not find in many other places, is it's very easy to, in rapid succession, get to know a lot of people. But like, you know, and I'm talking like, you know, not going back to like that startup kind of, you know, happy hour event. That's easy anywhere. But people who are, you know, potential partners, employees, customers, potentially investors even. It's a very social place. It's very easy to get connected if you arrive. It's easy to get connected fast. And also just something as simple as the layout and the, you know, the really strong transportation infrastructure just makes it so easy to get around. So there were days that I was there. There were days when I had, I think, like 10 meetings, maybe five I had scheduled, and the other five just kind of like happened because I bumped into somebody else on my way somewhere, you know, ran into somebody on the street, somebody walked into the same cafe I was in while I was talking to the first person. So it's incredibly social, very easy to get connected, you know, if you put yourself out there. And you don't really have to deal so much with these issues of distance and traffic, things that I deal with now, you know, now that I'm in Los Angeles. And, you know, I live in Pasadena, and, you know, most of the startup world activities here take place on the west side, so in Santa Monica, which is far from where I live, at least in terms of driving time, it's far. And I definitely make less trips over there just because I can't deal with the traffic, or I don't have the time to, you know, to put into that trip. I never had to deal with something like that in Hong Kong. So that's like, that's one aspect of Hong Kong that I really like. Another aspect that, you know, people might not realize is, well, so one of the criticisms I sometimes hear about Hong Kong is, well, it's just a city. It's a small market. It's, you know, it's really not part of the, like, the mainland China market. It's not like part of some other, you know, large population that you can immediately go and develop for. But to me, you know, that's what makes people who are working at startups there think very internationally from the start. So because it is, you know, it is this really unique city, you do need to start to think about how do you move beyond Hong Kong, you know, pretty early on. So, you know, to me, that's, you know, that's this, you know, kind of this unusual advantage in shifting the mindset of people who are building there, that, you know, they've really got to be thinking globally early on. But, and maybe like the third, you know, part that's not, you know, as discussed, you know, not discussed as much, is that it's a very kind of international and even transient place where, you know, people will live there for a year, 2 years, move somewhere else, go back home. You know, maybe they were there on assignment, you know, their jobs. People will pass through just traveling. So you end up meeting a lot of people from all over the place. And that really helps to kind of move along and spur, you know, a bit of creativity. So, like, apart from those three examples, it's, you know, it's back to kind of the basics of what people think about Hong Kong and, you know, good tax structure, you know, easy to start a business there, you know, that kind of thing. But I really like the opportunity and the chances that Hong Kong has to keep developing and keep growing as a startup location.
Okay. And now that we, you know, I agree with you on the Hong Kong advantages there. And from your experiences with the bootcamp, Accelerate HK, is there a story about a startup that you'd like to share with listeners today?
One real surprise for me was, I'll share the story from a startup in Hong Kong called TaxiWise, and a few surprises for me from these guys. So when I did the first startup bootcamp cohort, you know, so it's like middle of 2012, I had a bunch of Hong Kong based teams, and I actually also had one team that went over, relocated, you know, went over from, actually, you know, they really were from Silicon Valley. These two guys, JM and T, relocated to Hong Kong to do this boot camp. And they also had some interest in business in Asia. And they, you know, it's kind of just a good fit in terms of timing for them. And they went over with a very different idea from what they ended up working on. But they kept working on their idea. They went through the boot camp. They ended up, you know, not pursuing what they you know, were building those 3 months. But when Steve and I got the accelerator going, and, you know, we got the funding to do that, put together the first cohort, they actually applied with a totally different business, which is a startup called TaxiWise, which is Hong Kong's first taxi booking app. And they brought in a Hong Kong local who also helped them a lot in development locally in Hong Kong and really understanding a lot of local culture and getting them into the taxi driver network in the beginning. So they they were in the first accelerator cohort as well. Kept working on it, and really just about a week ago ended up being acquired. So it was, it's a kind of, to me, they kind of represent a lot of that growth that's taken place recently in Hong Kong, where here you have, part of the team comes from abroad, part of the team is Hong Kong local. They figure things out. They serve a local need that also has a broader global application. And, they're in the right place for this acquisition and end up going for that. Yeah, to me, it just kind of spoke to how fast things can change when you do have a lot of people who are coming together and, all the mentors, advisors, investors, the talent pool, that's all there to help make that happen. And, I hope that there will be, many, many more examples of Hong Kong startups that, either, go on to be successful, sustainable businesses or acquired or, just grow and help that whole community grow along with them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember those guys when I mentored at your first boot camp, and they definitely stood out to me too, and I'm really happy about that story. I think it's really great for the Hong Kong community. So yeah, it's a great one to share. Yeah, I think some of our listeners on the show, they're not really startups. They're more, I consider them entrepreneurs, but some of them have given me feedback that, they're not really a startup. They're more like an e-commerce business or a lifestyle business. Can these types of, stories and tips we've been talking about help them? Or is this more a pure like startup kind of talk or advice? Maybe you can expand on that.
I think a lot of it does apply. At the core, all of this advice is really going down to how do you figure out what you should spend your time doing. So how do you figure out what you need to learn? How do you understand the problems that your customer segment has? And how do you figure out what you should build to solve those problems? So I think a lot of, there is a lot of overlap there. At the end of the day, if you're running a startup, you really should be thinking about that you're running a business. And, for someone who maybe has a more, a traditional business or an e-commerce site or a more of a brick and mortar kind of a business, a lot of the core elements are pretty similar. I think some of the good things that come out of the startup world, for example, people will openly, at least in the kind of, much of the startup world, people will pretty openly talk about what they're working on, what they're struggling with, what's going well or not. And they'll get a lot of input and feedback and they'll kind of take those ideas. I think, that mentality does have a place in the more traditional businesses. I think, also, startups can learn a lot from these traditional businesses. So, if you imagine when you speak to someone who probably all of us listening, know people who have spent, decades in a particular industry or who have deep domain expertise in a particular field, they really have this depth of knowledge that goes way beyond what someone maybe just entering that field or that industry, could ever have, certainly at that moment. And it's, this combination of how do you take deep expertise and how do you also maintain that flexibility to change course, realize, hey, there's an opportunity to do something differently that no one's doing yet, or serve this other customer segment that no one's doing in that particular way. So I think the two sides can learn a lot from each other. And, kind of along with what I said earlier about startup people should be spending time with their customers, I think, both startup people and more traditional business people can kind of do those exchanges and learn a lot about, about how they might conduct their own businesses.
Yeah, it definitely is true. I think sometimes the whole startup bubble is a little bit sometimes kind of keeps the outside world of like normal e-commerce or business people out feeling like left out. So I just want listeners to know on the show, I know we have a lot of more traditional business listeners too, and I think they can take a lot from this. So, you know, I also would like you to, you know, mention your new book. I think it's exciting. I followed you along when you were starting to work on that book, and I'm really happy to see it you know, come out. Maybe you can just let our listeners know about it and
sure. Right. So the book is called Startup Sacrilege for the Underdog Entrepreneur. And I just decided I needed to pack as many fun sounding words together as possible.
Yeah.
But it really is that. It's, you know, so on the one hand, it is sacrilegious because I talk about how we should really push back and rethink a lot of these accepted practices, or what I call the startup gospel, you know, these things that we take for granted as undeniable fact when really they might not be the case. So I challenge a lot of accepted practices in the startup world. And my focus, you know, when I say the underdog entrepreneur, my focus is really on these emerging tech communities, you know, anyone who's outside of a big tech hub, because I think that the natural reaction is to always look to Silicon Valley or always look to your closest tech hub and try to copy what happens there, want to, you know, emulate startups that are there. I actually think the experience is very different when you're outside of a tech hub, and you should approach your own business very differently because of that. So I kind of talk through this by sharing maybe 25 or so experiences from people around the world. These are, like, you know, for the most part, startup founders and some community organizers around the world who are trying to build something in some off the beaten path location. And I also give some examples on, I think, places within the startup world that are not really helping the community out. And, you know, that's everything from, you know, pitch events, which is like a thing I've come to kind of rail against, not being a good use of anyone's time. How do you encourage more diversity in ideas, spending time with your customers, building up local heroes, or, you know, in other words, the people in your community who might not come from a tech background, but who really are going to be able to support you in really strong ways. How do you deal with the small investment community or investors who are only investing in real estate, which was the most common complaint, I suppose, I heard from people I was talking to around the world, to even how, you know, if you were going to build a local program, like a local accelerator or a local, you know, boot camp, how might you think through that given the different realities of your location? But basically, I put all these ideas out there, and I share a lot of stories from around the world, and I really hope that people will read this book and they'll be able to apply some of what I share locally, and that they'll also share and maybe, you know, move in some different directions than they would have had they just kept reading, you know, TechCrunch or any of these big tech publications.
Got it. Yeah, I'm really happy you got that book to the public. So we'll also link it on the show notes on each podcast. We have notes, so we'll let listeners that are interested, hopefully get some more people reading it. And how about for people that want to follow up or reach out to you? You know, sometimes our listeners want to send you a tweet or an email. What ways do you prefer people to reach out?
Sure. Twitter is probably the easiest. So I'm at P Orlando, at P-O-R-L-A-N-D-O on Twitter. And you can contact me via the website that I use now. There's a contact form there. And the website there is Startups Unplugged. And that's where I blog also. So, you know, you can see, some other updates from me as well.
Great, great. Thank you so much, Paul, for being on the show.
And hey, thank you, Mike.
All right, and that's a wrap. Thank you for that, Paul. And actually, next week, going to have T from TaxiWise, who Paul mentioned on the show. He's a co-founder there. He's going to share his experiences as well as the recent news of selling their company in Hong Kong. So I hope you guys will enjoy these. It's kind of a little bit of a startup series with Paul this week and TaxiWise next week. And then we're going to kind of shift it up back and forth with like educational or instruction experience and tools with also kind of like experiences of business people and startups. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And we're just going to keep cranking these things out. All right, that's a wrap.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.